And good morning, everybody. Welcome in to our Friday edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Wow, do we have a show for you today. It is going to be busy, like it hasn't all week. But wow, all kinds of things going on, just like there have been the last couple of days. The Titans meter this morning, moving over towards the good side. No positive tests this morning. That's step one. That's step one.
Yep.
We need more positive steps, or good steps, whatever you want to say. Don't confuse positive tests with positive news. Positive tests is negative news, and negative tests is positive news. So
dogs, it's all good. Dogs and cats living together. I mean, all these things going on.
So we still are penciling in the game on Tuesday to be going against the Bills. Now, there are big issues with that game. What is that team going to look like if they do get to play, given the fact that they haven't practiced basically in 2 weeks? So we'll get to all of that. John Glennon will join us for his perspective at 10:15. Free agency starts today in the NHL. Now think back to some of the shows we've had on July 1st the last few years when nothing else is going on, and how crazy those shows can be. Well, we're throwing that on top of major Titans issues and throwing it all together on a football Friday with a great slate of games going on, plus the baseball playoffs, plus the NBA finals tonight. So the fire hose is full bore. Again, water shooting out, and let's see if we can handle as much as we can here. Adam Vingan will join us from The Athletic to sort of set the table on what could be a busy day for the Predators, but we will see. The report is that about 10 teams are going to make a pitch to Taylor Hall. According to Elliot Friedman, there is some interest from the Predators, but what is the level of interest? Only time will tell. We'll see how quick it goes down for Taylor Hall. I keep wanting to say Adam Hall because he used to play for the Predators. That's a different Hall, no relation. We'll have You Just Made the List today. We've got Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports for his picks at 1 o'clock, and then we'll do our pick six. And we've got Middle Tennessee, North Texas tickets to give away for the winner this week. But play with us for fun. It always makes the weekend more exciting. We've got some real fun props and games for you to pick this week. We are going to have a lot of fun. So, Chase, what's going down?
I'm ready. You know, we have had a fun week on the show because there's been so much to talk about. Darren called me last night just kind of checking in, and I said, he was like, so how's it been going? And I said, we've had no shortage of topics, so we've been totally fine this week with everything that's been going on. But I think it's going to be fun with free agency because I said this yesterday, but a couple days ago I was like, all right, you know, they have a couple needs that they're going to address. Well, now with $17.6 million in cap space, I think that David Poile could be a little more active than maybe we thought he was going to be. I think he's going to be smart about it. I think Taylor Hall is certainly an interest, but I also don't think they're going to throw the farm at him. So I think that, you know, he'll be smart about it, get the needs that where they need to plug holes here on this team and try and make the Predators better. And then with the Titans, I actually put up a poll question on my Twitter account at Chase on Game, and I said, with the Titans having no positive test today, what's your current confidence level that they will play Tuesday night? And you have four choices: high, semi-good, and no shot. Is in the lead right now with 48%. High, 12%, semi-good, 31%, and no shot at 9%. So I think everybody's kind of on the same page of thinking, let's get through today and tomorrow, and then you might feel a little bit better.
Well, if you follow the story, you know not to get your hopes up too much, so because you're only setting yourself up to get burned. But it would be nice if they could just get back to the facility. So right. That's one thing, and we'll get into a lot of details with John about it, but the big concern, too, if you play that game, is your roster is going to be extremely compromised. Then you have to turn around and play on Sunday. So that puts you at a major, major disadvantage And we talked about this yesterday. The best thing might have been if they were able to push the game back to a week 18. I don't know if the league considered all that when they came up with Tuesday. I think it's a lot to ask of the players. I think it's a lot to ask of the Bills, although the Bills are going to get to play a team that has about a quarter of its roster unable to play, right? Between 20 and 25% of the roster will not be able to play for the Titans. So that's advantageous to the Bills. So you have that. But you're asking the Bills to play Tuesday, Sunday, and, of course, the Titans have to figure that out too. The Titans also have not practiced in a long, long time. Are they in physical shape? What about their conditioning? All of that stuff. That's forget about cohesiveness, not running your plays and getting your reps in as a team, but just physical conditioning for each individual. That's a big question mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I just think that there's not going to be a fair resolution to this. And that's what everybody has to understand with the Titans. I mean, it's certainly, but they've also put themselves in this position or helped put themselves in this position.
Well,
so.
I think that's the perception, but until the league puts out their findings of their investigation, I don't know if we know the answer. There are a lot of people that believe, and I think I subscribe to this, that the league is really trying to shoehorn all these games in when they could have adjusted the schedule way back in the spring.
No, I agree with that.
If they really were being realistic, they should have had some cushions in the spring to be able to move games more fluidly. They backed themselves into a corner where they don't have very many places to go if they want to get all the games in. That was a mistake, and I'm not afraid to say it. And I'm also not excusing the Titans. They may very well have been responsible for letting it spread. Like the key to the whole thing, like you have a Jets player that is tested or presumptive positive, whatever that means. I don't know what it means. It's a presumptive positive. I guess you're checking to make sure it's a positive and not a false positive. So you have that going on. So you have something introduced now on a Friday for a game that's supposed to be played Sunday at 1 o'clock in New York. So that could be a big issue. The Patriots and Chiefs continuing to move along okay. So the Patriots, you have to say, have controlled the spread way better than the Titans. Now, how much does a team have in terms of controlling the spread? That's what the investigation really should be all about. Because if you think about it, if they had just controlled the spread, then the workouts at NBA, the workouts at Rose Park, all of that would never have come up, right? Because they never would have had to shut down the facility to begin with. Which also brings us to the protocols of the NFL. Why did the NFL allow them to fly to Minnesota after Shane Bowen had tested positive? That's really the root of the whole thing.
Yeah, and I think hopefully there's going to be some resolution to that because in one way or another there probably will be because let's say the NFL does come down hard on the Titans. You do wonder what the appeals process would be. The Titans, I'm sure, would say, well, there was some miscommunication from the league. Why did the league let, you know, the league knew what was going on. They let us fly. I mean, it's going to continue to be he said, she said, and all of this. But, you know, will we find out the truth eventually? That's going to be the big question. But the other question, and actually this could be the big question, when are we going to find anything out? When is the league going to say, hey, this is happening? Because Mike Florio was on Jared and the GM yesterday, and he was saying that we'll play this clip in a little bit, but he was basically saying that he's talked to other executives and they think that it could be a possibility that there's suspensions to Mike Vrabel and John Robinson. Well, I mean, if they play Tuesday night, are you gonna have Mike Vrabel as the head coach? I mean, when are we gonna know who's coaching the team?
Well, we're going to get to that. We'll get to the
suspensions.
We're going to get to that a little later. That was a very interesting interview that Floyd and Jared had with Mike Florio. And, of course, that was the exciting line of the interview is, but you can't just read a sentence, right? You have to listen to the entire statement made by Florio. It's one guy on one team that has nothing to do with the investigation, speculating that there could be a suspension for Vrabel and Robinson. So it's not somebody he's talked to in the league that's thinking that. So I find that very hard to believe. I think that's overblown. I'm not going to rule it out down the road, but we have to find out what the Titans side of the story has been, which we don't know, because it comes down to, this is, I think, the most compelling thing about the Florio thing, that he's talked to other people that do have issues with some of the NFL's protocols here. For the NFL to just sit there and say all of our protocols are perfect is very vain, I think. It's not a perfect system, and there's not much wiggle room in the schedule for what is inevitable. If we think this Jets guy is the last person to get a positive test, you're crazy. We got a lot going on.
Right.
But so we'll get into it with John in the next segment. But we're going to be all over the free agency tracker today for the NHL. We'll see how busy.
Yeah, Elliot's on NHL Network right now.
It's going to be all over the place. Congratulations to the Braves. They've advanced to Woo-hoo! Play the Dodgers. Braves-Dodgers in the NLCS. That is going to be fun.
There's already a piece of free agent news that has just popped up.
What do you got?
Peter Laviolette has a new goalie. Henrik Lundqvist agrees to a one-year deal with the Capitals.
Aha. Uh-huh. So he will back up young Samsonov. Is that his name? No, the young Russian? They're letting Braden Holtby go to free agency. They've got the young Russian.
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure on that.
It's nice to have the veteran to back him up. It's good stuff. Also, Paul Stastny going back to the Jets in a salary dump move by Vegas. So a very, very good player who excelled for the Jets. He might, you could argue, have been the difference between the Predators and the Jets in that seven-game series back in 2018. So that's an interesting move. Winnipeg able to pull that one off. So that's just these are all just precursors. Free agency starts at 11. I'll just give you my gut feeling before we turn the page and talk to John, get back to the Titans. I feel like we should be really good at yo-yos, Chase, because we've yo-yoed back and forth, Titans and Predators, really all week. But I would be surprised if the Predators go all in on a big splash right away. Like if Taylor Hall just really wants to play for Nashville, that'd be one thing. But I just don't see an aggressive, we got to have Taylor Hall. I think he's one of many options.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'd be surprised if at 11:05 you hear that the Predators have made a big splash in free agency. I would, too,
considering they didn't have the legal tampering period. So if there's a sign in at 11:05, then you know there's some funny business.
But there probably has been some funny business.
Of course, there has.
We know how that works. All right. No funny business here. We're going to turn the page. John Glennon is going to join us from Broadway Sports. It will get his perspective on the Titans, who have been radio silent. No statements of any kind in the last couple of days as all of this has swirled and circulated and been speculated on. Stay tuned. We're just getting started. This is where you want to be. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Busy day here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren on vacation. We'll be back on Monday. Willie, Donick, Chase, McCabe here with you. It is official. Paul Stastny has gone to Winnipeg, back to Winnipeg, for Carl Dahlstrom and a fourth-round pick for Vegas. So just a table setter for what's to come. We mentioned Henrik Lundqvist is expected to join with Peter Laviolette, or signed with Peter Laviolette in the Capitals. Ilya Samsonov is the name of the goalie that I was thinking of, who has had now the path cleared to become the starter. A good talent. They've let Braden Holtby go. The goalies are going to be a big part of the story in this free agency period. Now, back to the Titans situation. John Glennon, who knows a little bit about not only the Titans, but he knows his share of hockey as well. So, John, as you can imagine, our brains are divided with all that's going on in the free agency with the NHL, plus following this Titans story, which you never know when the next shoe is going to drop. It's been a pretty crazy week, to say the least.
Absolutely. I think the good news for the Titans is that the latest shoe to drop this morning was some good news. You know, no positives this morning, and that's what the Titans need to have keep happening here in the next few days if they want to play this game on Tuesday night against Buffalo, because I think any positives from this point on would cause that game to be postponed, and who knows what happens at that point. A little trickle of good news this morning anyway.
So, John, we've tried to process this and be as fair as possible. I think, you know, on a four-hour show, we've discussed anything and everything, and then you take little clips and tweets of what everybody else is saying, and you try to weigh all of that. One point that I noticed you made yesterday is the strategy of the Titans to this point has been just to say nothing until, I'm guessing, they get the clearance to go back into the building. But in the meantime, as they've stayed quiet, so many people around the league have weighed in, ranging from, hey, they should lose draft picks, there should be suspensions of the coach and or the general manager. Even one guy from USA Today saying, just take him out, take him off the grid, suspend him for the rest of the season, the whole operation. But so your thought of the strategy of the Titans to just not say anything until further notice?
Yeah, you know, I can see a couple of sides to it. You know, on the one hand, you know, they're being weighed in the court of public opinion, certainly, and it's not looking good. They're guilty of everything under the sun in the court of public opinion, and that mounts and that stacks up. And you know, from that standpoint, I'm sure Titans fans, you know, would probably like to see the team come out and say, hey, you know, this is our belief. You know, we did not feel like we did anything wrong. You know, this is our stance on it. Then you look at it from the team standpoint and you think, okay, maybe they don't want to go on the record right now and kind of take that stand, because in a time where the league is investigating them, maybe that sort of pits them publicly against the league that much more. You know, and the league says, okay, well, if you're going to go head to head with us publicly like that, we're really going to bring down the hammer. So you can see both sides to it, but in the meantime, you know, everybody and their brother, as you said, is taking their shots against the Titans, and you see numerous unnamed executives and so forth kind of getting teed up and saying, okay, I don't have to put my name on the record here. Why don't we throw the Titans out of the league? You know, so it's a tough situation right now for the Titans, that's for sure.
Well, let's try to take a measured approach here, John. First off, it dawns on me that all of the workouts and things that happen after the Minnesota game, if they had been able to control the spread, and this is woulda, coulda, shoulda, all of this stuff, but to me, this is the key question. It might be the biggest question of the investigation. If they'd been able to keep it controlled after Shane Bowen had tested positive, presuming he is where it started, right? There was the young man on the practice squad, Maben, right? We might need to know more about that. But to me, there's so much that happened after, whereas if they could have kept it right there and nipped it in the bud, as the Patriots appear to have been able to do, and a couple other teams that have had a positive case come up, then the workouts and stuff is almost immaterial. So that's where the question, I think, lies with the Titans' responsibility. How much responsibility do they have to take for the virus then spreading?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, be great to kind of go back and get a look at exactly how events played out on that Saturday before the Vikings game when Shane Bowen test positive. You know, what exactly happened, what kind of testing the Titans underwent at that point, how many hours it was before they made the decision to fly, whether the league certainly, you know, and presumably said, you know, gave the go-ahead to fly, and certainly from appearances sake, it looks like that's what started the spread. You know, you're in airplanes, you're in buses, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and that creates a natural environment to spread. You know, and then as far as the workouts themselves, you know, I kind of look at it, you know, three different points for me. One, you know, from the player standpoint, you know, they're competitive guys. As far as they know, the game is still going to be played on Sunday. They need to stay as ready as they possibly can. You know, and they feel like it's their responsibility to step up, take leadership, organize themselves, and get workouts. Okay, so that's one school of thought. On the other hand, there's common sense here. If the NFL is shutting down your building because it doesn't want players to gather, it's pretty clear that that's not a real good idea, especially knowing how contagious this virus is and knowing the incubation period. And then finally, you know, I think probably the biggest point that has to be hashed out, was there specific direction from the NFL not to gather outside the building before the Titans workouts did? Because if there was specific direction and the Titans said, hey, you know, okay, that's great, but it's probably not a big deal, we'll gather anyway, that's when you think the Titans might really get hammered in that type of situation. So it'll come down to, you know, I think whether that was the case, whether the Titans can prove in any way that, you know, that directive didn't come down until maybe the workouts were already underway.
Also, John, I've thought about this a lot. Mike Vrabel, several different times, made it a point to say, we followed the protocols. Even as the situation was worsening, he stuck to that. There's also a sense that, hey, these protocols may not be perfect, but the theme from the league is the protocols work. If it doesn't work, it's on you. And I think that's pretty debatable here at this point, but it comes down a lot to, are the Titans being forthright when they say they followed all the protocols? Because if it comes out that they were covering anything up or not revealing as much information as they should have, then that is not going to bode well for them, knowing the league's stance and how strongly they feel about their protocols.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, you kind of have to look at the bottom line, and, you know, certainly you can debate the circumstances, but there's only been one outbreak so far among the 32 teams, and it's here with the Titans. And as you say, yes, Mike Vrabel is on record saying not once, but multiple times that they thought they had followed the protocol, you know, as well as they can. And what the sense you get, though, from, you know, maybe some of these anonymous executives and anonymous reports around the league, is that not only are we talking about workouts here that the Titans might have erred on, but general protocol in the facility in terms of wearing masks and in terms of, you know, other PPE, social distancing, that kind of thing. So, you know, again, if the Titans erred there, and as you say, we know what Mike Vrabel is saying, then it's not always the deeds that get you in trouble, but sometimes it's the cover-up as well, especially if there's video evidence otherwise. And we don't know at this point. You know, we certainly don't have our hands on video or anything along those lines, so I think you have to let the investigation play out. Yeah, it's going to be a tricky situation for the Titans if the league wants to make them, you know, an example. And again, if they knowingly broke protocol, ooh, boy, you know, you could be looking at some punishment here. We'll have to see.
We're talking to John Glennon of Broadway Sports. So when this is said and done, whatever, and it could be hard to answer because we don't know what the punishment or what anything is going to be. Do you get the sense, though, from just Mike Vrabel's point of view that he will take something away from this? Because there are times, and you're around him more than we are, that it's just I can't get a vibe on it, exactly his feeling on all of this. So do you feel like that he will learn something?
I think absolutely. You know, I think even if he felt that the team was doing its best, you know, to maintain protocol and to stick to the guidelines, you know, he may learn, and again, this investigation has to play out, but he may learn that you could have done much differently and much better. So in his mind, he's thinking, you know, okay, we're really doing a good job. You know, nobody in the world can stick to every single guideline every single day, but, you know, maybe he is learning that, hey, other teams did a lot better, or, hey, we really could have done things differently around here. So I think he learned, certainly. But, you know, I think what the Titans will probably say at some point, too, is are we really being this critical with every team as well? Are we looking back at video of every team, you know, or is it only the Titans because of the outbreak? So, you know, maybe the Titans were unfortunate, you know, that potential protocol violations resulted in their outbreak. But, you know, was every team following things to a T? You know, those are some of the questions that are going to be raised, I think, especially if there's punishment and to what degree that punishment is.
What did you make of the Titans players on Wednesday, I guess it was, going to Twitter? Roger Saffold was one, A.J. Brown. I kind of looked at it as, guys, put the phone down. you're not really helping your case, but what did you think?
I think you're probably right because, you know, if anything, I mean, there was nobody definitively had said that these guys were at the workout. I mean, circumstantial evidence certainly pointed to it, and you know, eventually the headmaster at Montgomery Bell Academy said that they were there. But yeah, it probably didn't help the team's cause at all to more or less say, you know, give reasons why they might be there. You know, from their standpoint, again, I think especially Roger Saffold's tweet, you know, was talking about, hey, we don't work out for fun. This is our livelihood. And that goes back to the point that I made earlier that these guys, you know, at that point, they think they're still playing Pittsburgh on Sunday. And again, if they didn't specifically know that they were not supposed to be out gathering, you know, it makes sense that they would, you know. And you know, again, that brings up another point, too. If they were gathering supposedly secretly in violation of the protocol, does Ryan Tannehill place a call to Montgomery Bell Academy and say, hey, can we use your field out of here? Can we go out in the middle of the field, you know, while school is going on? You know, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense either. So a lot of questions get raised about this whole situation.
All right. Do they play Tuesday?
I will hope so. Certainly, I you know, we all want to talk and write about football rather than COVID-19. They still got a kind of a dangerous path to go. I mean, even today's positive, that still means 8 of the last 11 days they've still had, you know, a positive test. The fact that they were negative today is a good sign, but oof, let's just cross our fingers because we'd all like to see that, as I say, rather than more COVID talk.
All right, John, as we let you go, let's live in that world for a moment that they get to play on Tuesday. I can't think of a scenario where a team will have ever played a game at a bigger disadvantage competitively with the roster that they're going to roll out there. No practice for the last couple weeks. I certainly wouldn't run Taylor Lewan, A.J. Brown, or Adoree Jackson in there under any circumstances if there's any question about their health, plus all the guys on the COVID list that you're pretty certain will not play. So if there's ever – I mean, if you had to handicap that game, I have no idea what you would do, but I can't think of a team that's ever been in a tougher place roster-wise. It almost seems like this is part of the punishment to have to play this game.
That's true. You know, you can look at it that way. On the other hand, you can say maybe, you know, all this time off, you know, at least potentially, we don't know, maybe allow some of these guys who went on the COVID list early, you know, maybe they start getting ready and you know, potentially able to return by Tuesday. But that's hard to say because, you know, Mike Vrabel had basically said these guys aren't going to be ready by Sunday. Obviously, that's only 2 days difference, so we don't know anything for sure. And, you know, maybe some of those injured guys, you know, you mentioned Taylor Lewan, A.J. Brown, Chris Jackson, you know, they are getting healthier. And you know, it's not an ideal situation to run them out there after not practicing for a while. But you may not have too many choices at this point. But, you know, it has the potential to be one of those crazy, wacky underdog stories. You know, a bunch of guys called up from the practice squad, you know, team down on its luck, you know, guys sick, guys injured, you know, what do you have to lose? So it's going to be an interesting situation on Tuesday, one way or another, that's for sure.
Well, we will wait and see. John, great perspective as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, John Glennon with Broadway Sports. Check him out there. Long-time coverage of the Tennessee Titans. Stay tuned. When we come back, we will hit that point. How compromised has a roster ever been? I mean, you probably have to go back 100 years. Certainly, as long as I've been watching football, I don't think I've ever seen this. If they get to this point, if they can play. Stay tuned. We'll discuss on the other side. And then Adam Vingan at 10:45 will set the table for NHL free agency. There's already some table setting going on as we speak. Stay tuned.
There's
we're coming
so
back.
So many screens going.
Yes, it's a multi-screen day for sure. All right, Adam Vigan coming up in about 10 minutes to set the table for NHL free agency. But, Chase, I want to hit you with this question.
Hit me.
You're Mike Vrabel, okay? Let's just look into our crystal ball and think positive. Not positive tests, but good news. And the game is on Tuesday. As John said, there are some variables here. We don't know what's been going on behind the scenes in terms of the physical therapy of Lawan, Adoree Jackson, A.J. Brown. Let's just take those three. And I guess there's a possibility of one or two guys coming off the COVID list. I think it's a long shot. But in my mind, I'm not saying you don't try to win the game. I think you roll with what you've got. But I would take as few chances as possible to minimize as I try to get my team back to real good football shape. It's going to be rough on Tuesday. But I would have to be willing to lose the battle if necessary to win the war. That would be my general approach. And I'm not saying you sit guys or you don't try to win. There's a way to do it. You try to go underdog stance and you circle the wagons and whatnot. But I wouldn't take big chances when you have had so few practices to get together. So I'd hold back those guys if there was any question, because you got to turn around and play on Sunday. I would shoot for the following Sunday as the target for some of those guys.
So you're saying you would hold guys like Derrick Henry back, or you would hold guys back?
No, nothing like that. No, not like that. Healthy players play, for sure.
Okay.
But if there are guys that haven't practiced and they're just coming off an injury, I'd wait till Sunday. I'd wait till the following Sunday.
I agree.
And same thing with guys off the COVID list, especially if they've had any symptoms. And I don't. We know there's a big set of, we've used the word protocol so many times, but there's a process you have to go through just to be eligible. I wouldn't push it with any of those guys. I would shoot for Sunday when you have more of a regular week to prepare, even though next week's not going to be normal. Even if they get the full green light, you're playing on Tuesday. So you're taking Wednesday off. Then you got to go Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You get 3 days to prepare for Sunday. You're going to be completely banged up. I would do whatever I could to normalize next week, even in a situation where it's not normal. But if you're the Bills, there's no way you can lose this game, right? I would have to say the Titans. I said it in the last segment. The more I think about it, I don't think I will have ever seen a roster more compromised going into a game. I'm not saying they don't have their own share of responsibility for why that is. I think they do to a large degree. We'll find out how much. But I think if you're the Titans, you got to play the long game here.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think that's a good move. But I'm also not ready to hand this one to the Bills. So
You can do both. The guys that are playing and trying to win.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the end of the day, they haven't practiced for 2 weeks, but they still have Tannehill and they still have Derrick Henry. You're thin at receiver.
And then after
that's a problem.
Who do you got?
You got Jonnu Smith. he's available.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a minor league team almost. That's about a quarter of your roster is going to be a practice squad.
Right.
Collection.
And this is very coach speak, but they're still National Football League players. They're still in the league. They were good enough to make your practice squad or make your team in some capacity. So you have to use them. Now, what that means, I mean, they could get blown out of the building. I mean, I think if you're Buffalo, you're thinking that that's what you're going to do. That, oh, we got this. Let's just go in. We'll just blow them out, take care of business. And that very well may be the case. But the fact of the matter is if you're on the team and you're not on the COVID list and you're going to be in the lineup Tuesday, you have to have that thought in your mind of nobody's given us a chance, so let's go after it. And
yes,
to his credit, Mike Vrabel is very good at getting the best out of those type players.
Oh, that's how I would play it. I would say I would take a big underdog stance. I would say, hey, we're up against it. But I think
we're the villain. Down, we're the villains of the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, us against the world. We shouldn't have a chance. You know, we all of those things. However you want to play that publicly, but definitely with your roster, with your team internally. You say take the most of the opportunity, the next man up. All these practice squad guys are going to get a chance. But at the same time, I have to be willing to give some ground in the short term to be better off in the long term. Because the worst-case scenario would be to roll guys out there that are less than 100% and haven't practiced more than a day or two. That's right. Tough stuff. That's tough stuff. I cannot sacrifice the whole rest of the season, even if it means I go into this game truly with a depleted roster.
Yeah, because realistically, you're going to have – I mean, I know Diana Rossini reported that if there's not another positive test tomorrow, they could get into the facility tomorrow afternoon. You're probably looking at walkthroughs, a practice on Sunday, a practice on Monday, and that's what you got. And
but remember the last time when they had two straight days last time and they had to get a third day.
Yeah.
Right. So it's when does the clock start on 2 days? If it's the same thing, then remember, because we sat there and we listened to Mike Vrabel the day that they had a second straight day. And I thought he was going to have the green light, but he was like, well, we hope we're waiting. And then the question comes in late. Well, do you have to have another day of no positives? And he was like, yes, I think that's a big thing. And sure enough, they had one the next day, and the clock started over again. So why right. would it be different this time?
Well, I don't know. But at some point, you're going to have to, and this is a league decision, at some point, you're going to have to decide if you're going to have this game scheduled Tuesday night, they got to get on a field.
I know, but that's where I wonder where the Players Association is. You're expecting guys to go out and play an NFL football game, having not had access to their facilities. We know why, but it's still a fact.
Right.
You don't have facility access. You can't practice. You can't be in physical condition unless you've been at Gold's Gym or you've been jogging around your neighborhood, and none of that is anything close to have gone going through football practices.
And it may be they
will be ill-prepared to play this game.
Sure, but it may be if they're negative tomorrow, they let Vrabel, they let some of the coaches come in to plan. You're still meeting virtually, and then if you're clear Sunday, then you can let the players come in and practice. But I don't know. It's such a tricky situation, but at the same time, there is now a football game scheduled for Tuesday night at Nissan Stadium. Is the league going to be at a point where – I mean, they're already in you-know-what right now, so if they're negative tomorrow, do we just let them in?
Yeah, this is why they should have had cushions in the schedule and not try to jam the games in there when players will not be physically ready to play. You're putting your players in a tough, tough situation. Okay, when we come back, we'll yo-yo back over to hockey. Adam Fagan will join us. We'll set the table. Free agency begins at 11 a.m. around the NHL. Stay tuned. We're coming back with Darren Donick and Chase. All right, let's get to it. Free agency starts in 13 minutes around the NHL. Poised and ready to go is Adam Fagan from The Athletic. Been a very busy week for him. It's about to get busier, I think, over the next few days as we see what moves the Predators make to reshape their roster. There are going to be some changes. It's already happening. So, Adam, let's just start with this. Do you think it'll be a busy day today for the Predators, or do you think it'll be more of a second wave as they end up with the pieces they're going to have?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think there should be something today. I am curious to see what happens when the market opens in 12 minutes. What I'm very excited about is the fact that free agent talking period / legal tampering period that we've had for the past several years was eliminated. Not to say that those conversations aren't still happening, but, you know, it's less certain of what's going to happen before free agency actually starts. But, you know, David Poile freed up significant cap space a couple of days ago by exercising two buyouts and trading Nick Bonino. So I don't imagine that he's just going to sit on that cash. I imagine that he will be attempting to use it to bolster his team.
And we had a chance to talk to him yesterday, Adam, and he almost called his shot. He said, I'm looking for two defensemen, and I'm looking for one forward. And, you know, it obviously left a little wiggle room. He said not 100% certain, but that's kind of his goal here. So how do you read into that?
Well, certainly I think they do need to add some more defensemen, particularly depth defensemen. Of course, as David Poile says, he's not changing his top four. So I think some veteran insurance on the third pair would be good to have, with it projecting to be at this time Jarrett Tinordi and maybe Alex Carrier or Jeremy Davies. You know, the one thing that I keep going back to, David Poile has said this on multiple occasions this offseason, that he wants to add a different element, that key word, element, to the Predators roster. And what he means by that is he wants to add some sandpaper, some abrasiveness. Now, when a GM says he wants his team to be tougher to play against, oftentimes one's mind goes toward, you know, grinders or players like the Predators had in the early days of the franchise. That's not what that means necessarily. I think the team is looking for players that can contribute in a top nine role at forward, for example, that can still provide offense, but are more physical than some of the Predators' top players. So I wonder what that could mean for the makeup of the team, but it certainly sounds like the Predators want to toughen up, so to speak, especially up front.
Let me follow up on that. Sorry, Willie. Do you think that he should look at a defenseman, though, that could play that second pairing so you take a little bit of pressure off of Fabro just so he can develop more? I mean, last year was his first full year in the league, and there were definitely some moments where he looked very much like a rookie, and you had Ekholm having to compensate for that sometimes. So would it make sense for them to find that hybrid 2-3 guy?
I have advocated for that. I think that would be smart. One player that came to mind for me when I was looking at some more bargain potential free agents a couple of weeks ago was Kevin Shattenkirk, who just won the Stanley Cup with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think he would be an interesting fit if you're looking at right-handed defensemen. The right-handed defenseman market is interesting. I mean, it's led by Alex Pietrangelo. The Predators, I don't expect to be in the Alex Pietrangelo sweepstakes. But you have Tyson Barrie out there. You have TJ Brody out there. You have Chris Tanev out there, who fits that element role. Troy Stetcher, who I think just became an unrestricted free agent after not being qualified by the Vancouver Canucks. So I think there are some interesting right-handed defensive options out there that, as you said, Chase, can start on the third pair, but easily transition to playing with Ekholm if Fabro needs a little bit of a lesser workload, so to speak.
When I think of two defensemen and one forward, and I'm trying to think of the budget of the money that's available, it does seem like you could probably get a couple of defensemen at a reasonable price, because there's going to be a lot of them. You just went through several names, and maybe have enough room to make, I don't want to say a huge splash like a Taylor Hall, although that is a name that I think we're all curious about, especially after what Elliot Friedman told us yesterday. But, you know, you could take a sizable chunk of money and put it into one forward that could end up on your top six if you wanted to. Do you subscribe to that theory?
I do. And, you know, I think they have a hole on that left wing on the second line. In Taylor Hall, of course, is the prized forward and is a left wing. You know, Mike Hoffman is probably the second best left wing out there. I do not believe Mike Hoffman is an excellent goal scorer, but he is not as complete of a player as Taylor Hall, in my opinion. Regardless of wing, Tyler Toffoli looks to be available, which I think was a surprise, because he fits so well with Vancouver. You know, that might be an interesting fit. Anthony Duclair, you know, who is representing himself and might not return to Ottawa, certainly, you know, could be one of those cost-effective pieces. But certainly when you look up the top of the board, you look at a Taylor Hall, you look at a Mike Hoffman, you look at a Tyler Toffoli, I mean, there could be, you know, a forward who eats up a significant amount of that space, and then you go bargain hunting on defense.
Right. And it sounds to me like they feel like Luke Cunningham is versatile enough to where he could fit on a number of different spots, and therefore, to me, the key question for the one forward they're going to sign is, who fits with Matt Duchene the best? To me, if you know that, then that's your target.
Yes, hi, Pretzel.
I do. Pretzel agrees. Pretzel agrees with what you're saying. I think Luke Cunningham certainly fits that mold as a versatile player. I also think that he brings that quote-unquote element. You know, so did Nick Bonino, but they got 10 years younger, which is important. Pretzel is very much in favor of whatever I'm talking about. When I look at what the most important thing is, it's important to get a forward who meshes with Matt Duchene. I think an issue with Matt Duchene last year was, you know, his line mates weren't particularly consistent. You know, we saw the Forsberg-Granlund connection in the beginning of the season, and then that went away. And, you know, Matt Duchene played some wing. Like, I think they want him to play center. So I think that's important to I think the most important thing this offseason is finding a winger that can mesh with Duchene and get him playing to his potential.
Adam Vingan of The Athletic is here with us. And I think what's interesting is we keep bringing up, you know, one winger to play with Duchene, because Elli Tolvanen appears to be on the other side. And David Poile has said it multiple times in his availability. He said his name multiple times with us yesterday, of Elli Tolvanen playing alongside Matt Duchene. So how are they at the point of it's got to happen? I mean, there's no more waiting for him to develop. I mean, it's time to put him in there in the top six and see exactly what they have.
Yeah, I guess you can say it's make or break time, or put up or shut up time, or there are other ones that are not appropriate for the show. But I think that's exactly right. I think the Predators are at a point where they need to see what they have at Elli Tolvanen, and now they have the opportunity to put him in a position to succeed. You know, Elli Tolvanen is not a bottom six forward. Elli Tolvanen is a top six forward in terms of what role he needs to play in order to be successful. And playing on the line with Matt Duchene, I think, can certainly be interesting. And David Poile has said that, as you said, Chase, multiple times this offseason. So, why I think a player like Luke Cunningham is important to have on this roster is because the Predators want to get younger, as we've discussed at length. But at least Cunningham now has, 3 years of NHL experience? So they have an NHL-tested player who's also young. That's important. And I think it's important to protect, so to speak, those younger forwards, whether it's Tolvanen, whether it's Trenin, whether it's Pitlick, whether it's Tomasino. You do not want to put them, as Jeff Kelce said a few weeks ago, in over their head too soon in their development. So I think it's important for the Predators to have some quote-unquote insurance policies that they can put into place in case those young forwards are not as ready as they hope they are.
Quickly, what do you think the future is with Rocco Grimaldi? The two guys that he had a lot of success with aren't here anymore. So where do you think he fits in all of this?
I think he continues to be a linchpin of the Predators' third line, and you're right. Two-thirds of one of the best lines in the NHL no longer are employed by this team, Craig Smith and Nick Bonino. I wonder if Luke Cunningham could be a fit. I wonder if Colton Sissons could be a fit. I wonder if Philip Tomasino were to make the team, if he could be a fit with Rocco Grimaldi. One thing you never have to worry about with Rocco Grimaldi is he's always going to work his tail off, and he's going to be successful no matter where you put him in the lineup. So I think he is one of those players that you do not have to worry about finding a new chemistry with different players.
All right, quickly, Adam, on a scale of 1 to 10, the likelihood in your mind that Taylor Hall ends up being a Predator?
Well, because I want to give myself as much wiggle room as possible, I'm going to say a 5, right in the middle.
You go that high?
That I would say so. I'm saying it so I'm neither right nor wrong. But but it's important, I think, that if Taylor Hall is as open to taking a short-term contract as he reportedly is, I think that's very important for the Predators. As I asked David Poile the other day, I do think they have to be extra careful signing a big-ticket free agent to a long-term contract after what happened with Kyle Turris and to an extent what happened with Mikhail Granlund. I think if he's looking for 6 or 7 years, I do not think they should do it. If he's willing to go 2 or 3 or maybe even 1, I think they should consider it. But the longer the term, the less they should consider it.
Okay, and on the way out, take his name out of it. Give me a name. If you had to guess, just, you know, a name that you think most likely could end up being signed by the Predators, who would it be? Defenseman or forward?
I'm going to say Jesper Fast.
Jesper Fast, you like him.
Formerly of the New York Rangers. I think he fits that mold of a player that we talked about at the beginning. He's not devoid of offensive ability. He was on a line last season with Artemi Panarin. He's incredibly fast, as his last name would suggest. And he brings that quote-unquote element. So I think Jesper Fast could be a player that could check a lot of boxes for the Predators and not cost a ton of money.
All right, we got it in under the wire. It's all official in about 1 minute, so we'll see how it unfolds. Adam, enjoy the day. Stay busy, and we'll talk to you soon. And Pretzel
right,
as well.
Guys, be good. Enjoy. Yes, Pretzel says goodbye, and he apologized.
No problem. We know all about pets in the background in these days who are doing shows from home. Okay, when we come back, we continue to yo-yo. It'll be back to football. Tank Williams, the former Titan, he's going to join us. He'll have some excellent perspective, longtime safety for some excellent Titans teams. Stay tuned. We're coming back.